Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Thank you for everyone who is tuning in, week out. Summer's almost over by the time you're listening to this. But we still all have tans. And today is not a Christmas episode. If you're watching this on YouTube, Elizabeth is wearing this brilliant green and Diane this wonderful red. But it is not our Christmas episode. Nope. Although, I mean, we maybe Christmas time, we should think about this. Uh-huh. Very festive. But we're very honored for everyone that has taken time to rate, subscribe, and even just leave a comment. So I just want to remind you, we are a part of an algorithm. One of the ways that is so helpful for you to just say thank you, or if this is helpful at all, is simply just to rate the podcast. Leaving a comment's really helpful, and then subscribing, because we have new content. So whether that's Spotify, Apple, or even YouTube, go over there and subscribe if you like that. Also, one thing we want to do that we want to start doing, we started doing this on the Intentional Fatherhood podcast, which was really fun, and it has been one of our most fun interactive ways to interact with you. We have a lot of people that send in questions, and that makes total sense that they send in questions in a type written form. But we asked all the fathers, hey, send in your question, but do it as a 1 minute voice memo. And what's fun about that is then when we respond, we can actually like play the audio and we can like hear mm-hmm. your voice. But even when we're recording the episode, we can actually like hear your voice, your tone, you know, the desperation maybe for some that are going to be leaving the question. But so what we'd love to do is just invite this whole crew to do that. So here's what all you have to do. If you can record, if you have an iPhone, I don't know if it works on other phones, but the easiest I know of is iPhone. Record a 1 minute voice memo, leave your name, where you're from, and your question. A minute's important because if you get long-winded, it just doesn't work to fit all the audio files. So do that and then just email it to hello@intentionalparents.org. And we would love to do a whole episode of your questions with your voice and kind of pivot to having some of that as an option. So remember, hello@intentionalparents.org. You can also go to our website and check that out, but really fun opportunity there. Today, we want to talk about the tools of discipline. I mean, so many questions that come in over and over and over are about discipline. How do I, when do I, what is it? What's too much? What's too little? And let's just say we feel the pain, right? We very mm-hmm. much feel the pain. And this has been an episode we've actually done a long while back, or versions of it, but you know, things change a lot, and we wanted to just kind of update some of the ideas, the language, and some of the clarity around this as time grows and we all grow. So today we want to actually dive deeply into this topic, and I couldn't think of two more wonderful people to do it with than Elizabeth and Diane. So let's jump into this. Tools of discipline. Our kids need discipline, but we really live in a confusing time as parents, and let's talk about that really quick before we actually get into these tools. We'll have a If you're a note taker, we'll have a bunch of different details, but specifically, let's go through this list. But before we do, let's talk about how confusing it is as parents right now.
Yeah, I think many of us are pivoting from maybe how we were raised or a generation before us that was really focused on rules and consequences and behavior, kind of was the driving force behind a lot of parenting, and I think especially Christian parenting at times. Mm. And now we're really learning so much about acknowledging our kids' emotions and helping them understand what they are feeling. Mm-hmm. And there's so much good that's coming out of that. But I will speak for myself, but I think I'm speaking for the masses. It's left a lot of us Jesus-following, Jesus-loving parents who were raised one way, who are learning a new way. It's left a lot of us really confused of, okay, but what do I actually do mm-hmm. about these about the behaviors, about mm-hmm. the continuous thing I'm seeing that's like really disruptive in my toddler, in my 5-year-old, in my 10-year-old. How do I actually respond? Like, I understand I don't want to just shut it down. I understand I need to acknowledge the emotions, but like, what do I do? And so I'm glad that we have multiple generations mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. represented. And even amongst our family, having a 16-year-old and a 7-year-old, I already feel like there's ways we did it with our oldest mm-hmm. that I don't want to emulate completely with our youngest. Mm-hmm. And I can see errors that are happening right now with our youngest in real time. So as we were talking before we started recording, or as we were praying, I think I prayed that we would just have humble speech, because in 20 years, our kids are going to be picking apart how our generation navigated all of this. And you had some really good stuff to say about that, Mom.
Well, you know, it's tricky because you are disciplining and training your children in a culture, one particular era, a culture that they're in right now. But you're actually disciplining and training them for a culture that in the future, as adults, that you know almost nothing about.
Wow.
So it's not like we can get this. We're ever going to get this perfect.
Yeah.
But I think it's important what you said about humility. We have got to stay humble. And part of that humility is seeing things in context, historical context. Mm. For instance, I was born in 1959, so I was mostly raised in the 60s and then the early 70s too, when permissiveness was the rule. Because of the rigidity of the generation before, the pendulum swung to permissiveness, hard to say, which is good in so many ways. I felt myself swing that way, more freedom for your children instead of putting them, making them be little adults in the world. Some of that was so good.
Yeah.
But then in the 80s, when 90s, when I was raising our kids, and especially because we were first generation Christians, so we had to throw out so much of what our parents had done, because good as they weren't centered around Jesus. So we were learning new. But then there became this big emphasis on discipline, really as behavior. You were disciplining the behavior of your child. And that is a good thing to do. I mean, we have to do that.
Yeah.
But it is nowhere near enough. And I love that your generation is acknowledging that we are embodied people and our emotions affect our bodies, and our emotions affect our walk with God and our relationships. We missed that.
Yeah.
At least in the evangelical Bible churches and charismatic churches that we were a part of. But also sometimes in the behavior-oriented discipline, which was partly behavior modification, which we know how go on a diet for any length of time, and you know how well that does not work for most of us. But we called it character. And I think character is really important, as long as we are very gentle about using words that could, as you pointed out, also caused a lot of shame. You want to say something about that?
Yeah, well, I just remember a lot of like, you know, if a kid was impulsive, it was they lacked self-control.
Right.
And the reality is, yes, that's true. But at that age and stage, when they have no prefrontal cortex, they're supposed to be impulsive.
Yes.
It's not that they don't have the character quality of self-control.
No.
It's that their brain doesn't have yet the capability to always exhibit self-control.
Yes. And so we're training them in incremental steps, being more now aware of the science behind the way our brain works.
Yeah. And again, I mean, this is like, how can one parent at all times know all of those things and have, you know, full understanding of how the brain works and what they can expect from their kid? Like you can't, right?
No.
Especially if you're coming from, I find this in myself, I think Brooke, you do too, coming from a little more of a behavior focused culture, my body responds Like, I have to stop the behavior in my child right now.
Yeah.
But my mind doesn't want to do that. I want to get to the thing behind the thing, and I want to address the heart, and I want to have a good conversation with them. But my body gets flooded with, I have to stop the behavior right now.
Yeah.
So if this feels hard to you listening, it's because it is.
Yeah.
And like you're pointing out, your generation swung it from it was too permissive to it was all behavior and it was not permissive at all.
Yeah.
Expecting a lot from young kids.
From kids who were underdeveloped.
Yeah. And now we're seeing the culture, we've swung it to emotions, but also a lot of, we're really permissive of a lot of the behaviors that come with all of the really big emotions.
It's just confusing.
It's confusing.
It's confusing. Well, let's to stay on track, because it would be so easy to talk about just that one thing. No, I just mean it would be, right? We could talk about that for a long time. Let's talk about, you know, the responsibility that we actually do have. Ephesians 6:4, specifically fathers, certain translations say parents. So this is not just for fathers. So it's a really important deal. It's not like moms, you don't have to worry about this, fathers, you do. But it says, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And it's interesting, that idea, like, we know when we exasperate our kids. And I think when we don't discipline them, we actually, it's a form of exacerbating them, and it frustrates them. I mean, we have these conversations very often, like, look for an opportunity of discipline with one of our kids, because they are so, like, right now, sweet Sloan is in a developmental stage where it's like, hey, we need an opportunity to help her remember that she's not in charge. So if she's like, let's give her, you know, some chances, but at the same time, we need to be on it with her, because she is testing these boundaries. She wants this. She's, you know, she's trying to take over and control, just like your kids do. You know, they want to rule it. They want to run it, but they're not prepared for it. It's not even kind to let them do it. And so we have to remember that we can unintentionally frustrate our kids by not disciplining them, by being too passive. I also think we can hurt them by being too much and expecting too much. And so we're highlighting that you have a responsibility, but you have to thread the needle, and you can't just go, this is how we always do it, and this is how we'll always be done with each kid, and that's that. Now, if you do that, you're going to hurt some of your kids. It might help some, but you're going to hurt some others.
Yeah. You know,
you go ahead.
I just have been listening to Kurt Thompson's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, I've listened and never rated, or I've subscribed, never said
you're
anything,
one of those people.
Never
Me neither. Commented. We need to do that, because
I bet you. I would love to ask, have you even done that for this podcast?
No, and I feel convicted every time you say
you
it.
You feel convicted. Just do it right now.
Oh, I never thought about watch you doing together it for do our it? Podcast. Yeah. That seems like.
You can give it a,
well,
yeah,
don't,
but be,
don't
but be
we
honest.
Share the same.
I don't know.
I think if you've already rated and
I don't
subscribed,
know if I, yeah.
then
yeah.
Anyway, I'll do it for Kurt Thompson's.
He has been going on for, I'm behind. I think it started like in March, about rupture and repair.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant, of course, because it's Kurt Thompson. And you were saying you watched it on YouTube, and he didn't even seem to have any notes, which just, oh my gosh. Anyway, I highly recommend it for parents. But he said in the last episode that I was listening to on the treadmill was, he said that saying no to your children and stopping their behavior, he calls this a limit-setting rupture that is absolutely necessary in our lives. It's good. It's necessary for our lives. And so if we take rupture and repair, or we take some of the emotional things so far that we're afraid of hurting our kids' feelings, that's not helping them.
Well,
anyway, that's what you just said.
Well, in Proverbs 29, I mean, if you're a parent, live in the book of Proverbs, because it is so helpful practically. But Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children. Like, here's the idea, discipline your children. And we're going to talk about what that means in just a moment. And they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. And I think that's a really just important thing to just double click on for 1 second, that interestingly enough, a lot of our kids, when we don't discipline them, we think that it will be more peaceful for us if we're passive. And actually the opposite happens. Yeah. It's not peaceful. It's hard to delight in your kids when they're not disciplined, and when you're not training them and helping them, which we're going to talk about. So we have a biblical responsibility, and we also have a lot of biblical examples and tools of how to do that, which we're going to talk about. Elizabeth, what do you want to say?
Well, I just, you put another verse down and I just feel like we got to read it. Hebrews 12:11
Yeah.
Which kind of sums up everything we just talked about. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. I also think it's interesting. It doesn't note whether it's the person giving the discipline or receiving.
Ooh.
It just says it doesn't seem pleasant at the time.
That's right. Really, but painful. Great observation. That's true.
Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. There's that word again. For those who have been trained by it.
Yes.
So again, that word training, which made me think of the Ephesians 6:4 that you read, like bringing them up, which is a process. That's not a quick fix.
No.
Bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That word training, like yes, it got me thinking of, I'm not an athlete, but I was a runner for 20 years. And so lots of training for races, but made me think of like the other sports we train for. Like if you take, if you use the sports analogy, each kid is going to be trained a little bit differently because we're training them maybe for a different sport, so to speak.
I was just thinking of the track kids that are like, you're going to be really good at shot put and discus, which which means you're not going to be good at the 400. And so you should stop running. I mean, that's a perfect analogy for that.
So you should
be
in the gym lifting weights, not sprinting. Yeah, and you should be
running a lot. Eat more, eat less.
but again, like this is going to fizzle out because I'm not a sports person. But that just reminds me of knowing our kids, asking God for wisdom for what their role in the kingdom and in life is going to be. That is going to impact how we train them. And who God's wired them is going to impact how we train them. You might have a kid that's really quiet and you're not really training them to not interrupt. You might be training them the opposite. It's okay to speak what you're feeling and to tell me what you need. Whereas you might have a kid that needs to do that a whole lot less because how what they think and feel is running the show. Like we have to be so open to what that training might look like for each kid, each age and stage.
Well, let's hone in on that because I think this is exactly where we want to go because we want to get to these tools and they're really important because I could imagine the person listening is like, okay, what are the tools? To talk about the tools, we have to talk about what discipline is. Most of us confuse discipline as punishment and we need to talk about the difference between training and punishment because they're different and they're not the same thing by a long shot. So let's talk about that for a minute. Discipline doesn't always look like having equal consequences for each kid, but discipline more means training. And so a lot of it is more of the spirit of not this way, but this way. That's the spirit of discipline.
Yes.
Now there are moments when your kids are maybe very much out of their window of tolerance, which is not the right way to even use that phrase, but you get the picture where they're just
dysregulated.
A mess. Yeah. And they're like, wow. I mean, you are just feisty and mean and not wanting to listen. And like there's
like
moments.
Maybe after you've had influenza B in July in your house for the past 9 days. And
what are you talking about?
everyone is at their absolute worst, including their mother who's been in the house with them for 9 days.
I know. I have seen it. So I think we don't need to, go too far into this, but we need to remember that discipline, when we say, hey, it's our job, the tools of discipline, it's the tools of training. What are the tools that we can do to train our kids in the ways of Jesus, the way of godliness, the way to be a successful human? That's really what we're talking about. We're not talking about you're bad, shame, you need to sit in a corner, you need to sit in your room. Like, obviously, that could be a part of the tool, but the spirit is completely different.
And sometimes the training does include some sort of consequence to be able to accurately train. And I think that comes a lot more often in the younger years.
Yes.
To help train that brain, to help the self-control, to help all of that develop. But especially as they get older, it's less of with a consequence. It's more with a conversation.
Yes, and we tend to do the opposite.
Yes.
So punishment, you brought up the word punishment, which is, I think, mostly the American mindset around discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you get what you deserve.
Yeah.
In our legal system, we are not really trying to train people not to get in a bar fight. There's some of that, I'm sure. But they're disciplined. They're punished.
Mm-hmm.
You hit somebody, you hurt them. They now have brain damage. You get what you deserve.
Mm.
That is not the biblical ideal of, or the New Testament mm-hmm. ideal of this discipline and training.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with getting what you deserve.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think that's anti-gospel.
It's anti-gospel.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. fact, go with that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just having this light bulb moment.
Yes.
Of almost like asking myself the question, why do we connect everything so much with consequences when the gospel is all about... This is what you deserved, but you got grace instead.
Yes.
And which, I just think that's so interesting that we apply all of these anti-gospel things to our kids while trying to teach them the gospel.
But I think just as true as a form in the ways of Jesus, this side of heaven, right? This side of heaven, we live in tension.
Yes.
So there's that weird thing that is... Discipline your children, right? Like yeah. that's really clear in the Bible. And at the same time, doing it in the spirit that it includes what you're talking about.
Yeah. Right? Well, because yes, we don't get what we deserve. That's the gospel. That's Jesus dying for us. But we also see that the scriptures are filled with, but this is how you ought to live.
Yes.
In order to thrive. And mm-hmm. so really that is why we discipline our kids, is because we're teaching them, this is the way you ought to live so that you can thrive in the kingdom yes. in the way God designed yeah. you to live. So yes, that does require consequences sometimes, but not you're bad, you're getting what you deserve. It's because I want you to flourish and grow in God's design, speaking exactly. kind words to your siblings and honoring your father and mother, even when it's difficult and yeah. you want to be disrespectful. And
so yeah. with Diane, so let's talk, Diane, you have one more thing you want to say about what is discipline, but then we'll talk about really quick what happens when we don't, and then we'll go to the tools. So what was the other thing you wanted to mention, Diane, on a quote you wanted to share?
Oh, well, okay. Can I give a little heads up?
Yeah.
I have been going through this book that Intentional released called Sowing a Hidden Seed.
Mm-hmm.
I went through it already a couple of times. First of all, when you were writing it, Brooke,
yeah.
you know, you had us kind of go through it. And then right when I got it, you know, it's only 30 short entries. It's just a yeah. really quick read. So every morning I'm going through it and praying for our family.
Mm.
Even though our kids are raised and you oh. were writing it from the perspective of a father raising children,
mm-hmm.
it's been incredibly insightful to mm. pray for our kids and to write notes about who I'm praying for and grandkids.
Yeah.
But this morning I read on day 6 is about spiritual wisdom is the yeah. title. I thought, oh, wow, we're going to podcast today. We're going to talk about
mm.
discipline if ever we needed spiritual wisdom. And then this amazing quote by Thomas Aquinas, wisdom consists in ordering things rightly.
Mm.
And isn't that what discipline is?
Yes.
We're asking for wisdom to order our children's responses and reactions and yes, behavior and emotions rightly.
Mm-hmm.
It just really struck me hard. And then the verse you use came out of Ephesians 1:15 through 20 in the New Living. And in, I'm not sure which verse it is because I don't have it all laid out here. But what really struck me is that God, the Father of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
is who Paul is referring to. And it struck me like never before. He's our dad. He's the Father mm-hmm. of Jesus.
Yeah.
And what struck me most is the two words, grace and peace.
Hmm.
So his relationship with Jesus, if we're going to copy that as a father, as a mother with our children,
hmm.
is characterized by grace and peace.
Mm-hmm.
So even in discipline, hmm. even in those moments. So I looked up the words again just to see what they were. And the word grace... You know, we often hear an Americanized version of it that is good, but isn't complete, and that it is undeserved favor. It's never really sunk in well to me, but looking it up in a Bible dictionary, grace actually means joy. So he's saying pleasure, delight, loveliness, charm, and sweetness. So is that...
Wow.
Is there wow. a way to be characteristic? We're disciplining our children out of that joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness, charm.
Wow.
And then, so in other words, are we approaching this kind of training of our kids with actual the Father's grace? Mm-hmm. And then the next one, peace, is tranquility, harmony, security, safety, the way that leads to peace. But then this, exemption from rage. Exemption from rage. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Are we training in a way that expresses to our kids also that you are safe with me?
Wow.
And just the reminder, just as a father disciplines, trains out of relationship, so we discipline, train, not out of some sort of self-righteousness or desire for peace ourselves, but out of just our relationship with our kids.
Not being harsh. Yeah. We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me, God says, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
Wow, there's so much there. I think the exemption of rage is a great prayer for all of us. God, would we be people that are exempt from rage with our disciplining? And I think it's a perfect segue to talk about what happens when you don't discipline. Yeah. Because this idea of like, hey, let's just be gentle parents. There's that movement came so quick and got debunked so quick because it's so against human nature. Now, I'm not throwing shade on people that are trying it. I'm just saying you'll probably end at the same conclusion that many others in that space have ended with, which is for very few kids that works. Yes. Most kids, it doesn't not only not work, it creates other problems that you didn't even have before. And so gentle parenting actually isn't the way of human flourishing and thriving by any means. And so there are a lot of things that happen when you don't actually discipline your kids and train them. And that's an interesting deal. One thing that we see all the time, and this can happen to Elizabeth and I very easily, manipulation. Mm-hmm. You bring up, guilt and shame. I remember my son was talking to us about a family, a friend or something like that. And he had noted something I had never, ever, I had never known. And he just basically said, he was talking about how he felt weird when the parents at this place were disciplining their kids because he's like, they exclusively use shame. And I was like, the fact that you could identify that is amazing.
Yes.
Secondly, that's really interesting. And they were really well-behaved kids. And really it was a reminder that shame is an insane motivator.
Yes.
And is a very effective tool in discipline that causes later carnage.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you are just allaying the pain for your kids when you use shame as a medium to actually motivate them or to try to say, well, you know, there's a lot, I don't want to use examples, but I think the point is like when we don't discipline our kids, there is a lot of things that raise up manipulation, anger, also this weird kind of self-pity, like, oh, you're hurting mommy's feelings. Oh, that doesn't make daddy feel good when you do that. Like,
And
it's, of course it doesn't make you feel good, but you're the parent.
And it's a burden they can't carry.
I don't care.
You do not want to even let that language enter your mind and soul.
Yeah.
Because now, from the perspective of an older parent, I do not want to lay my emotional responses with all its lack of integrity at times on my adult kids, because what will that do? It will do nothing but push you away.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to take responsibility for the fact is, maybe you just said something that hurt my feelings, but the reality is it's because I still have those wounds that I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of blaming it on you, I'm taking responsibility. And manipulation, emotional manipulation, puts it on the responsibility of the person who said something off or didn't call you on your birthday or, you know, some minor thing.
And when that person is 6 years old, it's a very tricky deal, right?
Yes.
If you put that on your kids. And I think it's to highlight and to be gracious with anyone listening.
we know that we all come into parenting with kind of a preset from what we were raised with. So a lot of this stuff isn't because you're even necessarily thinking about this. This is a lot of this stuff is like knee-jerk reaction from how you were parented.
Yeah.
And so it's, so I want to be gracious.
Procedural memory. We should link that episode.
That episode. Absolutely. Yeah. Very helpful episode. But I would just highlight that this is a moment for you to slow down and to begin to reflect on why you are responding the way you're responding. And if any of these topics that we're bringing up right now are maybe ways of responding are going, ooh, I do that exact thing. Don't feel shame. Like we don't need to perpetuate that. You're not a bad person. But now that you're becoming aware of it, it's the invitation to begin to try something different. And so that's what we really want to talk about. So in the scriptures, we have a handful of discipline or handful of tools of discipline. These are all biblical and we just want to highlight what these are. I know that many of you have been waiting. And so we want to talk about these. There's four or rather five, one, two, three, four. Let's
four.
Do four.
Four we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Four we're going to talk about today. And also I want to highlight that if you haven't grabbed yet or purchased Phil and Diane's book, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers, this is a great, great resource. The link is in the show notes. But that actually goes into even further depth of all of these tools. And so if you're like, man, I'm looking for more than just this conversation today, that's a resource. Go grab that book. It's online. You can get it on Amazon, anywhere books are sold. But I want to highlight the first one is correction. What do we see in the scriptures with this idea, this tool of correction?
Well, back up. Just a tiny bit.
I might have jumped ahead.
I forgot to bring this up in our before the show conversation. These come out of 2 Timothy 4:2.
That's right.
Where Paul, who called himself a father to Timothy, a father in the faith, a spiritual father, advised Timothy to preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. So in other words, he's really getting him ready for adulthood. And then he used these four words, correct, so correction, rebuke, encourage with great patience, and careful instruction, those words. And so those are the tools of discipline that we see in the scriptures that we want to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great word. So correction. So that's that idea again. I we can talk about this. I don't know if we need to go at length, but that idea is pretty straightforward. Like there is a tone, a heart, a disposition, which is correction, like not this way, but this way. Mm-hmm. Our kids need to be corrected, but not in a rude, mean way about all sorts of things. Like as an example, our girls still, I don't know why, cannot hang a towel on a towel rack. I don't know why. And I am trying to figure out what have we done wrong as parents? Did they just not... Is this complicated? Am I overcomplicated?
They don't see the towel on the floor. Their eyes cannot see it.
So okay, there is a really easy solution because you kids couldn't do it either. And you take off the towel rack and you hang hooks.
Oh, no. We have done that. They can't see the towel on the floor and remember to pick it up and hook it on the hook.
We're not even
talking about folding it. Like, you know.
But that's a simple example where they're not doing anything wrong, but they need to be taught like, hey. So when you go take a shower and when you're done, this towel actually doesn't live on the floor in your room. It goes on this rack. And I'm going to remind you every time that this is where it goes. You know, it's simple correction. It's like, hey, not this way, this way.
But you want to know what I did this morning right before coming here to the studio?
You hung them up.
I did it because I was
too
lazy.
I told Sloan to do it before she went downstairs. Did she not do it?
Nope, she most definitely did not.
Oh, then we're moving to the next stage. Gentle rebuke, here it comes.
But see, I enabled and I already picked up the towel.
Man,
that is not training.
Well, let me give you hope. We just spent a week sharing a cabin at family camp. The girls were in your cabin.
Yeah.
And Duke was in mine.
Yeah.
He hung up his towel every single time. I mean, he takes two showers a day, twice a day. He hung up his towel. There were no hooks.
Yeah.
He had to actually fold it to make it work.
All right, thank you for that. Yeah. Take the long view.
I mean, he's got other problems.
They might have.
Which we're correcting. So I'm happy that one's not one. But to highlight, like, I think this is stage one. This is like, hey, you hit your sibling. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. And not this way, but this way. And I think some kids respond really well to just a correction. Like, hey, that's not how we're doing this. That's not how we're speaking. And I want to be really clear. There's stages of this. Like when you're in high stress and you are, and life is hard and there's a lot of things weighing in on you, it's easy just to skip correction and go right to the, some of the next ones, some of the more intense ones. And I think correction is a really big deal. And it's a, I think if we can do it in the right spirit of gentleness and kindness and firmness, it actually is very effective. If you can stay calm and say, hey, we don't do it that way, this way. A lot of kids, if things are calm, they'll respond to that. But if your kids are anything like our kids sometimes, they're like, oh, I just want the next stage. Or like, I'm not listening to that. You're being too calm. Calmness means permissiveness. And I'm like, oh, that's not what this means. So any other thoughts on this one? I know we're talking about.
The only one is I feel like this is what God does for us, what the Holy Spirit does for us when we're in the Word or we're listening to a podcast or we're sitting in church and something comes up, something is taught. And all of a sudden you have that feeling, oh God, I did that this morning, or I'm doing that to this person now, or this is a habit in my life. But it's not this horrible, shameful, like you talked about shame, Brooke. It's not this horrible, shameful feeling as much as it is, I need to take care of that. More of an urgency comes with it. So I think because the Holy Spirit, you know, because this is Paul talking to Timothy about his congregation, because this is something the Holy Spirit does with us, we have to believe there's an effectiveness sometimes beyond what we can see in the moment. It's probably not effective for dangerous behavior. Don't start with this when but more relational stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a great reminder. Yeah. Great reminder. And the next we have, do you guys describe, is it in the book a gentle rebuke or is it rebuke?
I think it's a gentle correction.
It's a gentle correction.
And then
rebuke.
A loving rebuke.
Yes. This is really important. It's actually not written. We didn't write those words in it, but we changed when we were teaching about it because of some encounters we had with people who seemed to do everything at the height of harshness. So it is a loving rebuke. And that is a Greek word that means to warn or sternly tell, to admonish strongly.
What is that? Let's talk about what that looks like, because I think there's a lot of room for misinterpretation there, right? Like someone's version of admonishing strongly could be very different than someone else's. So let's just talk about what that could actually look like.
Yeah. My first thought is thinking of, you know, the toddler who's going for the hot stove.
Right.
That is, you're skipping the gentle correction.
Yes.
And because you love them, you're giving a firm, no touch, hot, you know? And then I think played out as they get older, maybe it's the really angry teenager where you're having to give a quick reminder like, hey, you're not allowed to talk to me that way. Say it different. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to talk to you. You might say it with an intensity, not a shutting down.
Yes.
I want to be able to hear you. I want to be able to talk to you. But I need you to calm down a little bit before we're able to do that. If you say that super quiet and gently, they're not going to hear you. Yeah. So I like the way you guys describe it sometimes, Mom, is you're almost just having to up the intensity in your voice.
I like that word.
And this is where we miss this a lot. It's not necessarily upping the intensity in your spirit, like the anger is welling up in you. So you're just going to rebuke them. It's a like, hey, this is really important. I really need you to hear me.
Yeah.
When they're young, it's usually a safety thing for you, for them, or maybe they're going to hit their sibling or whatever it might be. But then as they get older, it's still a needed tool sometimes to be like, hey, I'm real serious about this.
Yes.
But often.
It's a boundary.
Yeah.
Right?
Often we start with this one and we do it in a place of anger.
Or we're yelling.
Yes.
Or obviously angry in some other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which happens to all of us.
Everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
But as long as we start off with the idea that that's not what we believe.
Yeah.
I think then we can quickly make those repairs afterwards and move on to trying to do it the way we believe is the right way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's important too, because I'm thinking of those folks that are listening and they're just going, yes, but I want to know what do you think about timeouts and what do you think about spankings and what do you think about grounding and what do you think about hard labor and these things that, I mean, naturally are going to come to your mind because maybe that's how you were treated. we're not saying that consequences are not a part of it. I just think they're a lot further down the process than most of us jump immediately to consequence. And there are certain consequences that are important and helpful. But what we're talking about here is like, there's a handful of steps before you get to consequence and trying to appeal to their heart. Now, I don't mean like, just let them, like we're talking about, if they're hitting a sibling, if they're about to touch a hot stove, if they're doing something in the moment, or, you know, I think there's a lot of times where kids will disobey and we just kind of make it a fun game because we don't want to deal with it. They're just running away, not listening to you. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to play this. And you're like, there's a line there where you have to go from like, they think it's, is it a game or is it just like disobedience? Are they like just not listening to you because they don't want to? And we have to just remember, like, parenting is very hard. It's very exhausting. And there's a lot of times where it would be so much easier to just pass up or be passive about the needs of our kids' discipline. But I think even with a lot of these different tools that we're about to talk about, we're not going to jump to like, okay, you're grounded for, you know, 10 days because you had this attitude or response. We're talking about before that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what happens before some of the consequence. And we can talk about some of the consequence, but I think the highlight that is so important to say, consequences are so unique to each family and each kid. And I don't think that it always works to just say, blanket statement, this is what we do for all of our kids, no matter what. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. Because in our situation, I know I can only speak for my own, is each kid needs something different in that area and responds differently to different types of consequences. And so I think there is, like, for one of our kids, just knowing that they did something wrong and knowing that, like, that's like almost like that, having to bear the weight of like, gosh, I didn't do that right. And I know how that made that person feel and this other person feel. That's enough to motivate them to not do it again. That's almost the consequence.
And with these four tools, we are really trying to stick to what does the New Testament actually say about relational discipline? Mm-hmm. And so we're just not going to maybe get into all the timeouts and all the other ones that are not really covered in the epistles, these letters about how to live out our faith in real life. So,
The next one we have rebuke. Next is patient instruction. What does that one look like? Because again, I obviously know some of the answer to this, but I'm to spur on conversation. What does that look like?
It looks like the main thing you do when you parent a teenager.
Okay, say more.
I feel like
I don't disagree.
This is so relational and it's so conversational. It's hearing them out as they get older. Something big happens. It's hearing them out. It's letting them express themselves. And then it's having a conversation about how it could have been done differently. Or in the younger years, like we have been, and we've mentioned it on the podcast, that we have been working with a behavioral therapist, which is all about behavior, with our daughter with special needs, because that's been, we've really needed that in this case. It's been like an extreme case of like the behaviors were so extreme. We needed some tools to know how to navigate them. But one of the things that I've loved that she's had us do is after Birdie is calm, after whatever happened, the big blow up, the big meltdown, where in the moment, nothing gets through. But afterwards, she calls them replays, where we literally act out what happened and we give her a chance to try again and to do it the way she knows when she's regulated, it needs to be done. That's an example of patient instruction.
Training, yes.
And training when they're young. And a pretty young kid can do that.
Yes.
And you can make it fun and a game, not shame-based, not a like, you need to practice because you got it wrong. Yeah. But like, hey, you know, when I said no and you went and grabbed the thing anyway, like, let's try that again. Let's pretend that it's happening right now. And you say no again and you give them a chance to respond in a different way. That's what it can look like when they're young.
Yeah.
And then with older, it's just a lot of like, hey, can you see how the way you said that to me would make me feel like really disrespected? Like if I talked to you that way, would you feel disrespected? Like, can you see that?
Yeah.
And if you have a kid that you have a relationship with and there's some level of maturity and they're not heightened in the moment, they can see it. Yeah. I'm sorry for responding that way. Like, yeah. And then let's talk about how we can do it better next time so we can work together when you're frustrated.
Yeah.
That's patient instruction. It's not yes. out of anger and frustration, although of course that creeps in. I'm finding right now with our 13-year-old daughter, I have to take a lot of breaks because I'm the one who gets really upset of like that I'm very logical and rational and she's a 13-year-old girl. So she doesn't possess a lot of that some of the time.
Yep.
And I get too activated. So I will have to take breaks in order to be able to give patient instruction. Mm-hmm. Say, I need 5 minutes. I'm going to come back. Yeah. And then we come back together like, man, this is hard for me too.
Yeah.
But I think it looks a lot like that.
This is a good one too for those times when we actually, and there are a lot of them, cannot discipline our children. Yeah. We're out, we're at Target, and we've got a couple other kids and a baby with us, or we're at church, and the kids are all, like you said, heightened and excited. But as the child is older, going home and saying, look, we need to do a replay about what happened.
Yeah.
I've been teaching you not to interrupt and how to communicate to me that you have something important to say, but that seemed to kind of all fall apart today. Yeah. So let's go over that one.
Or the reverse, I'm thinking of like in the occupational therapy world, they call it front loading. The patient instruction also includes before you go into Target, you park in the parking lot. Okay, guys, we have some errands to do. We have some stuff to get. Here's what I expect. You're going to stay in the cart. You're not going to climb out. I know it sounds fun to touch everything, but you're going to stay in the cart. We're not climbing out.
We're like
you set
anything.
The
you're
expectation.
Not, you're not buying anything.
Yeah, we're not buying anything. And then it's a beautiful chance. We'll get into the next tool of encouragement, but it's a beautiful chance to when they've been able to do even a little bit of what you patiently instructed them, what you front loaded them for.
Yeah.
You get the chance to really encourage them like, hey, you really were able, you stayed in the cart. That's amazing. I know you wanted to get out. But so I think oftentimes.
And don't miss that.
Yes.
Which is the next tool.
Which is the next tool. Yeah. But I think that we live in such a hurried world that patient instruction out of any of these, well, maybe encouragement too, but especially more than correction or rebuke requires that we slow down.
Yes.
That we be really intentional, that we look in their eyes and think about the service we could be doing to our younger kids and our teenagers, but in telling them, hey, this is what I expect, instead of you didn't do what I expected, but I didn't actually remind you. We have to remind them over and over and over again and not assume they know, especially for all these kids who missed the years of grocery shopping during COVID, who are now 6, 7, speaking from experience, who are still learning how to run errands because they missed a lot of that prime patient instruction training time.
Yeah.
We have to remind them over and over again, this is what I expect of you.
And let's, just because I know we need to get this last one, that's a huge deal what you just said. And you already mentioned it, so let's just talk about it, encouragement. Because that's my favorite one. I also say it's my favorite one because I think it's also the most powerful. I really think.
And the most underused.
The most underused and one of the most powerful because when you encourage your kids and tell them, wow, I think you're doing, and it's interesting to think this is a tool of discipline. It is. It's in the Bible.
It
it's
is.
Very clear. When you start telling your kids, wow, I see you doing this. It's a huge, it's just wind in their sails. The phrase that I know you guys use in your book, Diane, but your children will become who you tell them you see them becoming.
Yes.
And when you say, wow, I saw you be really obedient and you're just so kind and thank you for being so listening to mom when I was in the store. Thank you for listening to dad when we went out. I asked you to not do this thing and you didn't. And that's amazing. Thank you for just honoring what I asked you to do. I'm so proud of you for doing that. I know that's hard. Like kids need that in a very sincere way. Mm-hmm. And it is such a powerful tool.
It is. And the Greek word I just love, it's actually a combination of two words. And the first word is para. The word is parakletos. Of course, I do not speak Greek. So this is all what I read. Okay. Para, which means by the side of. Mm. And we're talking again about presence and connection and attunement and all those words that we talk about of being, we're actually not against our kids. We're at their side. We're with them. We're walking with them. by the side of, and kaleo, which means to call. So you're calling them mm-hmm. up as you're walking alongside them, say through the targets at mm-hmm. Through the errands at Target.
Yeah.
You're calling them up. You're by their side, as opposed to being kind of oppositional, which is how we get with our kids, because they're pushing our buttons. And this is the tool also that I have found is the most effective for really willful, defiant children.
Yeah.
Because they can basically, they can handle harshness often, and it just makes them more stubborn, more defiant. But this kind of gentle way of calling them up and seeing them just does something in these defiant kids to just make a yearning inside for more. They want more of that.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And I think this is particularly hard for the parents who weren't encouraged growing up, or whose parents had, I feel like I can almost envision your mom, grandma, with the mindset of like, well, yeah, you should obey.
Yeah.
Rather than like what you're saying, Brooke, of really respecting them and honoring them. Thank you for doing what I asked you in Target. Like that, I am proud of you, and thank you for honoring me, you know? It's such a different heart posture than a like, well, yeah, I expect that you would do that.
Yes, exactly. Of course you would do that. Yeah.
And so much of it is posture, and it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's motivating.
It's so motivating. No matter your personality. It's
or motivating. Age.
Yes. Oh, 100%. This also has me thinking, and that obviously this is like near and dear to our hearts, but I just feel like it needs to be said. For those of us who are parenting neurodivergent kids, which is so many of us now, whether it's
a lot.
An extreme end or mild ADHD, doesn't matter. This patient instruction and encouragement and discipline of those kids it's equally as important, if not a little bit extra important. It is our job to help teach and train them to be able to function in the world that we inhabit. And for those kids especially, we've got to learn this tool of encouragement because they struggle with self-esteem. If they don't right now, they will at some point in their lives, because they are aware of their struggle. They're aware of the areas that they feel that they're lacking, or they're not as quick as their peers, or they're more impulsive than their peers, or whatever it might be. I think the patient instruction, like be frustrated. It is frustrating sometimes to navigate all of that as a parent, but not be frustrated with them. To remain in that place of patient instruction, asking the Spirit to help you, even when you feel frustrated, to be able to patiently instruct them over and over and over again and encourage them. They need so much encouragement.
Those two are almost just like, should be a compound word.
Yes.
Yes. Big
in
time. Our mentality.
We should come up with some word.
Let's just end our time, because I know we can keep going on this, but I think the last thing we wanted to land on is just hope, you know, hope. And also the reminder that, you know, so many of us think, well, this is how we have to be all the time in every situation. But that's not really the truth. There is, you know, we talk about the 80-20 rule, that if you're doing this 80% of the time, even
you're doing amazing.
Not even up to 80%, you're doing far better than most, and the dividends are massive. So if you're here and you're hearing this, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm only doing this, you know, 85% of the time. Great. You're doing 5% better than most people. Actually, you're doing most people never even make it that high. So I just want to highlight, like, perfection is not the reality. Nobody gets this perfect.
Nor is perfect behavior the goal.
No.
And that's a great reminder, because I think so many of us forget that perfect behavior needs to be the thing. And so to encourage you at the end of all, let's take that last tool and pass it on even right now. You can do this, and you're doing a better job. If you're sitting here listening to this podcast and you listened all the way to this moment, you're doing more than a lot of people.
Yes.
Because and even if this content just falls flat, and you're like, I hate this content, that's okay. You spent an hour
trying to figure out.
Shows you care.
Is this something that I can learn and know? And that heart posture is what's going to carry you through. And maybe this content isn't what's helpful, but your journey and trying to be discovering of what is going to be the thing that makes a big difference. So good job. You're doing it.
Very good. I love that. But I want to add one thing to it.
Please.
And this is, we say this a lot, and we say it because we all struggle with it. In fact, we had a conversation the other day, Brooke, with, you know, you are now leading the entire intentional ministry as president and Elizabeth as vice president. We did this role switch, and it's a lot. It's growing fast. And you said something about how you're realizing that you have to create different rhythms in this position than you had before because it's lest it becomes too much. And I was just thinking of this Thomas Aquinas. Wisdom consists in ordering things rightly.
Oh, that's good.
For parents, at different stages of your kids' lives, you have to reorder. You have to, just like if you get a job promotion, that feels like a lot. At different stages, you have to just sit down with each other, parents, as much as possible, mom and dad, and with the Lord. And to say, at this stage, if this is the most important thing as I'm raising children, that I get this right, what needs to happen right now? And what do I have to eliminate from my life that I would like to do later and someday? You know, I'd like to save more money later, or I would like to pursue this career later. But right now, this is the most important thing. I need to order my life rightly. And that is, again, a wisdom issue, a discernment issue that will take prayer, seeking counsel, listening to your community, and letting people challenge what you think you must do, what you have to do. If it means slowing down enough to be able to actually purposely, intentionally raise up our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord.
Absolutely. So wherever you're at today, we just want to remind you, discipline's important. It's biblical. God does that with us. And, you know, take this as a conversation starter. Take this to your community group. Take this to your spouse. Take this to friends. Start to figure out what this looks like for you. Again, this isn't an end-all, be-all conversation. And these tools, again, biblical, they still have to be applied to your situation, your family. So don't take this as law. Take this as encouragement that you can step into this. Your kids need it. There's a lot of things that happen when you don't discipline. So step into that responsibility, but do it with humility, do it with openness, and do it with a curiosity in some way. If you had healthy parents, mimicking some of those things is great. But if you didn't, have a humility and a curiosity of how it could be different for your own kids. So take notes, tune in. We'll be around next week having some fun conversations. So tune in then.